Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Meet the Author on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Denny Griffin, and I'll be your host for the next half hour. And if anyone would have a question for me or my guest, you can reach us at 646-478-0982. That's 646-478-0982. And I also have a chat room. If you're on my Blog Talk Radio site, you can text a question or comment through the Dennis N. Griffin chat room. And my guest this morning is Carl Nelson, and he is the author of Madam President and the Admiral, a political mystery thriller. Mr. Nelson's a graduate of the Naval Academy, and he spent 33 years in the U.S. Navy, retiring with the rank of captain. He is currently a professor of international business at the California School of International Management. Captain Nelson, welcome to Meet the Author.
Thank you for having me, Dennis. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad you could make it. What I'd like to do, because I found that people would prefer to hear you and what you have to say rather than listen to me. So if you would be so kind as to give us a little bit, any more of your background you would like, such as prior writing experience, and then I'd like to get in to the book itself, your most recent book, Madam President and the Admiral.
Sure, I'll talk about myself. I'm reluctant to do that, but I did serve 33 years in the Navy, a long career. Very interesting, very exciting, luckiest guy in the world. I started off as a sailor at boot camp in Great Lakes, Illinois, and then somehow found my way into Annapolis and graduated, and then had opportunities to command a cruiser and a destroyer and a ocean salvage ship, and then serve command of two organizations in the Delta of South Vietnam in command of Marines and sailors, and it was a wonderful life, and I enjoyed every minute of it. But when I left the Navy, I decided I wanted to try some things that were different, and one of the things that I, and of course it's an opportunity to do that when you come out of the Navy after a long career, you have a little bit of a financial background to support you is why you do a major change. And my change was to go to writing and also to become a professor. But I really want to talk about writing. I've been at that now for 25 years, and I've published, I've written about 15 books, and I've had published, I guess it's 11 or 12, and I have a few that haven't gotten published, but the ones that are published have been very successful, and I really enjoy the writing art form, and I've been growing over the period of 25 years and have had some success. So I've been catching up with the kids who might have majored in writing when in college. I was an engineer, but I've been catching up, and I think I've done some decent work in the recent books that I've put out.
Well, you're to be commended, because a lot of people can't have one successful career. It looks like you've had one and are succeeding in the second, so that's a great thing.
Well, I enjoy it very much.
Before we move on, I can't help but ask you, can you tell me what year you were in Great Lakes?
I enlisted in the 9th of April, 1949.
Ah.
And so I was there through the summer of 49, and I stayed on through the winter. And what happened was that I went to A school, and the coach at Great Lakes found me I was the basketball player and starter and varsity player in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He found me and put me on the team there, and so I spent the better part of a year in Great Lakes before I went off to the Annapolis.
The reason I ask is I was there too, and I always have memories of that. Not all of them are fond of boot camp. I don't know what it was like when you were. I was there in '62, and it was quite an experience. I had just turned 17, and I was a little. I'd never been away from home before, and boy, it was welcome to the world.
I was there in. I was in the Great Lakes in the heat of the summer in the frozen winter, so it's not but it's a nice place. I just happen to have had a wonderful experience just 2 weeks ago. I had got my uniform out of mothballs and put it on. It still fit. And I swore in my grandson into the Navy.
Oh, God.
It was wonderful. He's going to boot camp in Great Lakes here in about 2-3 weeks.
Oh, boy, I bet you that was exciting for you.
It is exciting. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
And before we get into your latest book, I just wanted to ask, with your naval career, was there any one particular assignment that stood out or stands out with you more than others, anyone that you enjoy or have more satisfaction from than the rest?
Well, there are two. The year of combat on the ground in the rivers in the southern part of South Vietnam in the Delta region, as we talk about, was very exciting. And I ended up flying almost 100 hours of in choppers in combat areas, et cetera. Now, that was very interesting in terms of combat, but one of the more interesting ones was I was assigned as faculty. I was in Annapolis in the early 60s, and then the Navy sent me to West Point, where I was the only naval officer on the faculty at West Point for a year in 1963, and that was a marvelous experience. I enjoyed it. The Army was very kind to me, and we got on wonderfully well with the cadets there, and I had I was what they call a tactical officer in charge of about 100 cadets from plebes to first classmen, and it was a special year. I remember it very, very well.
Now, I was just going to say it'll be the type of experience you won't forget.
That's
going to
exactly
hang with
right.
you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm partially through your book, so I. And probably just as well that way I can't give away anything too much. But the book is, as I said in the introduction, a political thriller, and it does have a female president of the United States. And I was very well. I wasn't sure at first how I would react to this lady, and. I found out I really like her, and I was just wondering, is she based on anyone you've known, or, did you just make her up out of whole cloth, or how did you create
her? Well, people have asked me, and since the book's been out about 2 months now, it's doing extremely well in sales, by the way, people ask me, well, is this based on recent nomination procedure and Hillary Clinton, and well, I think Senator Clinton did a masterful job trying to get the presidential nomination. The book is not about her. It's about a woman who is set in the future, actually, in terms of the problem, the plot. Madam President, whose name is Abigail Cass Steele, and she's a character from the earlier book, Secret Players. So I've been working with that character. This is the second book I've had her in, and I'm glad that you liked her. I don't know if I've written her correctly. You'd say, how does a man write about a character, a female character? Well, my answer is you better write very carefully. So I think I've tried to show a woman president as a very capable person, and I'm glad you liked her. What happened in this this character is that she actually comes from a family in Michigan and ends up in Washington and is well prepared to be elected president, but she's as I see her, I've seen her as three people in one. Well, first of all, she's president and commander-in-chief. The second is that she's a mother, and she has a couple of children, grown children, and she but she's a widow, and she's without a spouse in the White House, so she has to take care of all the family things as well. And then lastly, she's a woman, and she because she's a widow, she has a male friend, an admiral, four-star admiral on, in retirement, who is her confidant, and et cetera. So I think I've given the character of the female president reasonable approach to her, and what I would say is the book is I had in mind writing the book to people who are on the cusp of change in the world and change in America and are willing to take a look at how a change in the way we do business at the presidency level with some fair observations.
If I might say, I was going to ask you, you've already answered this question, you know, whether it was the female character was coincidence or had anything to do with the current politics. But also the plot, I mean, that's even though it's in the future, it involves energy and oil, and that certainly is a timely timely subject today, that's for sure. And, you know, I would say probably a couple of years ago or longer when you could get a gallon of gas for a buck or whatever, a buck 20, it may not have seemed as important to a lot of people. But, you know, today that's the hot item.
It's a hot item in America, but it's a worldwide hot item because countries with big populations. America's population is about 300 million, but China is 1.3 billion, and India is going to surpass China in a few years in population. They're already over a billion people, and with that comes people who are driving cars who. Not too long ago, couldn't afford a car, and now China and India, people in those countries are driving cars more and more. So the usage of gasoline and fossil fuel is a major problem throughout the world, and we're reckoning with it here with higher gas prices. But other places in the world are going to be suffering because everybody's going to be competing for that gasoline, so it's a major problem, we're just seeing the beginning of the fossil fuel problem. And in this book, I highlight the fact that that China faces an oil shortage, which causes the country to take some unwarranted military acts that challenge the Madam President, challenge the President Cass Steele to decide whether or not she has to go to war or not to go to war.
Well, that's another thing. Now, that's the third item that I was going to mention. Is that is coincidental apparently, but a lot it was made prior to Senator Clinton suspending her campaign. A lot was made about one of the commercials, the 3 a.m. phone call, when there's an emergency, who do you want to answer that phone as the commander-in-chief? And certainly President Steele found herself in having to make some tough decisions.
Yeah, I think in this story, maybe the fact that she's not a hip shooter, I want to use that term, and she doesn't make a quick decision about China causes her some problems because there are some people in the world and certainly in the United States who perceive the women as not being strong enough to hold that kind of a job, whether it be so she's challenged in the book to figure out how to make that kind of a terrible decision about going to war.
And have you gotten any feedback yet? Well, you said this is the second book that that Mrs. Steele has been in. Have you gotten any feedback yet from female readers about what they think of her?
I have. And most of the readers, the women, female readers, like the book. It is a book that crosses genre lines and has not only politics and romance, but it also has military chapters. And when they get to those chapters, some read them in depth and some kind of skim over them because there are some. The book takes you from the White House to on-scene combat in pilots and warriors at a war scene, several chapters on a war scene in naval war, future naval war. But a few women have thought maybe that they didn't want to necessarily look at those military chapters. They're there, and hopefully women who read the book will be able to take or leave the amount of military stuff in the book and grasp the total aspect of the book. And it's mostly about female president and what she has, what matters she has to deal with and how she deals with them. And the women that I've talked to who've read the book and like it, like the character, and they like the fact that she's able to handle these issues in this book.
Yes, I thought that in one of my books I have a co-lead character is a female, and I know I've gotten comments. I've made my character somebody who deals not at that level, but deals with some major issues. And I found that my female readers, for the most part, appreciate a strong female character able to handle things and get involved and make decisions and so forth. So now. I have a question on research. First, could you tell me when you started writing this book? About how long ago?
Yeah, let's see. I think I started the book somewhere about 2002. About 2002.
And did you work on it steady, or was it off and on type?
Well,
thing?
Actually, I wrote it, got it in pretty good shape, and then I had a setback in my life. I lost my wife to lung cancer, and during her illness, I didn't do a damn thing. I just didn't do much of anything except care for her. So I was set back, and it's only in the last year that I picked it up and shaped it up and got it out into the book world. And I've been working on it off and on for 6-7 years, I guess.
Now, even with the lapse in time where you weren't working on it, did you find you had to spend quite a bit of time on research for this, or did you know, like, the combat scenarios, did you already know pretty much without having
well,
to do any...
I was commander of a guided missile cruiser in the Navy and was a chief of staff of operations for a battle group and have a pretty good foundation of naval warfare, but the ships that are named in the book are modern names of ships that are in fact in commission, and air combat. I knew enough about it to write most of that most of that stuff, although I did take those sections of the book and bounce them off of people who were in the warfare area and made sure that I was technically correct. Matters of Washington, D.C. and politics, I had served a couple tours in Washington, D.C. area, and I'm familiar with how Washington operates and the departments operate, et cetera, so I was somewhat capable of writing that sort of a discussion in this kind of a book.
Were you any cooperation you did need in research? Where you didn't have the knowledge independent? Did you find that the internet was a great source? I mean, do you think the internet is great for any author as far as researching goes?
Oh, absolutely, Dennis. Denny, let me just say that it saved me time. Of running back and forth to a library. In my earlier work, particularly in my nonfiction books, I had to bounce in and out of libraries constantly. Nowadays, you can sit at your computer and go into the internet and Google things and look up things that you had to go to library to do. Not that you don't. Not that libraries aren't great resources. They are great resources. But in terms of comfort to the writer, the ability to stay in your cubbyhole and write your book, it's time saved quite a bit.
Absolutely. And I was. It's hard for me to imagine doing a book now without the internet. I mean, I just. It's kind of scary for me to think of what you would have to do, you know?
Absolutely. When I left the Navy, the other thing that I did was go back to school and earn a doctorate in international business and trade. And when I had to write my dissertation, I had to go to the library. That was back in the 80s. And the time that I spent in the library researching so that I could write my dissertation was phenomenal. And nowadays I could probably do it in half the time, but it was it certainly has the internet has made a big change.
Now I'm going to ask the captain in just a minute to give out any information he would like, contact information, or where you can purchase his book. So if anybody
sure.
needs to get a paper and pencil. We'll get to that in just a minute. In the course of writing in general, I know you have both fiction and nonfiction, but as a writer, if you had to give a tip to an aspiring author, do you have any specific single tip that you think is most important for an author to follow?
Oh boy! You know, so writing is such a difficult. I think people underestimate the difficulty of writing long works of fiction, even short works of fiction. Poetry takes such a long time and so difficult. But I would say, among all that, the specific details of how to go about it. There's one thing that if you're serious about making a career or just writing doing your best work, the best that you can do in whatever area of writing you go into, is that you've got to have a constitution allows you to allows you to stick with it. I used to think that there were people out in the world who could sit down and write a sentence, a paragraph or a page or whatever, and without any problems at all. I found that's not true. Everybody has to write and rewrite and rewrite, and I think being able to stick to it and not be afraid to revise your work is the most important tip that I can give anybody.
And that I try to ask that to everyone, every guest I have, and that is generally the most often given answer by authors who have succeeded, who have multiple books out there, is what you said. So I'd have to say that certainly the consensus is that that's good advice, and and I would recommend that myself. Now, Captain, could you go ahead and give us any website information or information
Sure.
about how to get more information on you or to order your book?
Yeah, the first thing I'd tell them is that they can order this book from any distributor, any bookstore, whether it be a store on a street or whether it be a store on the internet. The book is up on Barnes and Nobles and Borders and Amazon, and it's being handled by all the major distributors, Ingram and Borders and Barnes and Nobles, etc., Baker and Taylor. But it also can be ordered directly from the publisher, and the publisher is a company called New Century Press here in California, and you can buy, you can order the book using an 800 number, 1-800-519-2465, or it could be ordered over the internet at the website for the publisher, newcenturypress.com, New Century Press, and give you give the listeners an additional way to do it is they could go to my website, which is www.carl-a-nelson.com. And it'll link you to the to all of my work, and I think you'll have fun looking at the website. It's kind of a clever website, so you can listeners can order the book in many ways, and important that they most important is I hope that if they do read the book that they like it, and if they do tell their friends the book. Business is almost word of mouth anymore, and I'd love to have people, if they like the book, to best mention and mention it to their friends. And do keep in mind that Madam President is a sequel to the, my book Secret Players. You can you may want to read Secret Players as well as Madam President, and they're both they're all available at New Century Press or on any bookstore. You can get them through any bookstore.
Okay, so there's certainly ample methods and means to get the captain's books and also to find out more about him or his other works. So I suggest that. And the last comment you made, or one of the last about if you like it, tell your friends, leads me. We have just a couple minutes left. I'd like to just touch on marketing. And I'll tell you my idea about marketing, and then I'd like to hear your opinion. I think marketing, now that I've been down the road, is probably as important as writing a good manuscript. I've read books that were marketed well and not necessarily that well written. I've seen books that don't seem to go anywhere that are good books but aren't marketed or marketed aggressively. So do you where do you think marketing stands in the writing business?
Well, thank you, Dennis, Denny. I I've been down both those paths. I've had books that languished and simply because I didn't do a good job marketing, and this book is doing well because I have invested my time and some financial aspects to it because I want to make get the book out. I think it's I think it, the time is right for the book. But yes, I think writers are in many cases are not aware of the need to invest their time and sometimes coin into marketing. And the amount of time invested is sometimes equal to the amount of time they put into writing the book. And you know, if you worked as hard as you and I have in writing these books, golly, I want people to read them and hopefully they enjoy them. And the only way they can do it is if I'd let them know where it is and how to get it. So you're right on target in terms of marketing. It's so important. By the way, I'm making a trip through the East Coast starting in August, and we're running through Virginia Beach, Washington, D.C., Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, up into Ohio and Michigan and upward to Milwaukee. And we're in each of those places. We're doing bookstore stops and signings and talks, et cetera. And hopefully we connect this book to the East Coast in that method. Plus, of course, being interviewed by you and your wonderful Black Hawk Radio. And I really do appreciate you taking time, Denny, to let me talk about the book on your radio program.
Well, Captain, I appreciate you being here, and we've gone over our allotted time. Now, what happened is the show, the live portion, the broadcast stopped, but we're being recorded, and this last few minutes here will be on the archive show, so we aren't losing anything. Okay.
Okay. Well, great.
And again, I want to thank you for being a guest this morning, and congratulate you. And first of all, thank you for your service to the country. And then congratulate you on your success of your writing career as well. So again, thanks for being with us, and I'll be in touch with you when I start my Vietnam shows up, and perhaps we can get together again on that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and have a great day, Captain.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Captain Carl Nelson, the book, Madam President and the Admiral, a political mystery thriller. So please check it out. And I'll see you next time on Meet the Author, which will be 11 a.m. Eastern on next Monday, the 16th of June. Thank you and have a great day.